This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
December 7, 2017 is a date embedded in our collective memory. It marked a historic moment when Australia achieved marriage equality. It was a monumental step forward for our rainbow community. And now another pivotal moment is approaching, this time for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. And on October 14, our nation will make a crucial decision regarding the amendment of our constitution to officially recognise First Nations people and establish a voice through which they can communicate with the Parliament. And being part of minority communities, we understand the significance of recognition and representation for marginalised groups and the formidable challenges they face in driving change. And to start showing our support, we must first equip ourselves with a better understanding of the current situation. Here to chat to us about this is Professor Paula Gerber from the Faculty of Law at Monash University. Paula, it's always a pleasure to have you on Joy Drive.
And always my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Paula, do you see these parallels between how the communities are feeling at the moment, between what we went through as a rainbow community with the marriage equality debate and what the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community could be going through at the moment with this talk of the voice?
Absolutely. I think the LGBTIQ community is the ones who really have the best understanding of what it's like to have our human rights voted on by the majority. It's very stressful, it's humiliating, and we were a minority when we had the marriage equality postal survey, and we needed our allies to support us and to campaign with us to achieve this change. And now it's our turn to be allies, as you say, to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters to make sure that they get a similarly positive outcome.
Now, Paula, can you walk us through what the procedures will be for referendum day? What can we expect in terms of the voting process?
Yes, look, there's a lot of similarities and differences between voting in an election and voting in a referendum, and indeed the marriage equality postal survey. So the first thing I'd say is that in elections and in the referendum, voting is compulsory. It was voluntary, of course, in the postal survey. But one of the big differences is how the votes are counted. We're used to going to the ballot box and putting, you know, our preferences down in numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. But in the referendum, we have to write either yes or no. And in order to be successful, what's required is not just 50% of the total Australian population, but also what's called a double majority. We need 4 out of the 6 states to also have a majority. So we could get probably the 50% national vote in just Victoria and New South Wales, but that wouldn't be enough. We'd need to have at least 2 other states, not territories. Unfortunately, the ACT and the Northern Territory don't count when it comes to this second arm of the double majority. It's only states.
Paula, something that really concerned me, and we are going to be talking about it tomorrow here on Joy Drive, is we saw John Farnham lend one of his songs, You're the Voice, to the Yes campaign, and some of the vitriol and nasty comments that he has received as a result of that, to me, are indicative of what the No campaign are potentially going to say. What would your advice be to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait community, and also to the rest of us, in terms of making our mind up whether to vote yes or no, on how to filter out this kind of comment?
Look, we know, the LGBTIQ plus community knows what it's like to be the target of this vitriolic, toxic abuse. And what we do know as well is that it passes. So this campaign is actually not as long in terms of when the date for the referendum was set and when the vote's going to be held as the marriage equality campaign, which went for months. But what I'd say to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities is to try and block it out, to surround yourself by people who you can gain support from, and to know that this will pass, and hopefully at the end we will have a positive outcome that will help in the healing and recovery from the trauma that is clearly going to be inflicted by the very hateful comments that we're seeing come out of the No campaign.
What are the genuine concerns that may result in people hesitating to vote yes? I mean, we can't just everyone vote yes, unless we address these. We're not necessarily going to sway them. What do you think are the main arguments that are being thrown by the No campaign?
What I like to talk about is we've had very few successful referendums in our history, only 8. But the most successful referendum was a 1967 referendum, which is the only other referendum that has been about voting on the rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. So the 1967 referendum was whether they should be counted, and that had more than 90% of Australians saying yes, unequivocally, without hesitation, yes. My argument is that the 2023 referendum is the next step in the journey. In 1967, they were counted. Now, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are asking to be heard, and we need to again resoundingly say yes.
What would you say to those people who are feeling, who are going to vote no because they're feeling threatened, as though Australia will no longer be equal?
What I'd say to those people is the same argument as I used in the Marriage Equality Postal Survey, is by recognising the human rights of one minority, it is not taking away the human rights of anyone else. It's not a zero-sum game. You can respect the rights of same-sex couples to marry without in any way diminishing the human rights of heterosexual couples. And it's the same with The Voice. We can recognise and respect the human rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to be heard without diminishing our rights one single iota. And what I'd also say is that this is really good policy and government and democracy going forward, because we know that if we listen to the people who are most going to be impacted by the laws, we get better outcomes. Can you even imagine what it would have been like to develop the NDIS without talking to people with disabilities? It never would have been contemplated. And as a result of extensive consultation with the disability community, we have a really good system. There's room for improvement, but we have a system in there, in place.
I'd also say,
and we need to listen to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in order to get better outcomes for them.
And the other thing I'd add, Paula, is it's going to save us taxpayers a lot of money, because we won't be wasting money. We'll be using it more effectively.
Oh, absolutely. The example that I heard that really resonated with me was a group of contractors who went out to build houses in an Aboriginal community, and when they came back the next day, having just started work, they found that all their work had been destroyed, just been demolished. And they said, "Why did you do this? We're here trying to help you. We're trying to build you houses." And they said, "Because you're building it on our burial grounds. This is sacred ground." And, you know, no consultation, no discussion, no listening. So they had to start again in a new location, costing lots of money. So, yes, we will save money by developing outcomes that will be successful and meet the needs of the Aboriginal community.
Paula, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us on Drive today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. That is Professor Paula Gerber from the Faculty of Law at Monash University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.